Hi, and thank you for joining us. I'm Hannah and I'm the new Digital Communications Officer at the Glasgow Centre for Population Health. I'm joined today by Dr. Catherine Timpson.
Oh, hi Hannah.
A Public Health Research Specialist. And Bruce White.
Hi.
A Public Health Programme Manager, both here at the Glasgow Centre for Population Health. So today we're going to be talking about our website, the Understanding Glasgow website, as well as the GCPH website. So to start off the questions today, we have Bruce. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Glasgow Centre for Population Health, or GCPH as it's more commonly known as?
Yeah, so the Glasgow Centre for Population Health is a public health organisation based in Glasgow. It was set up in 2004. What we do is we generate insights and evidence about health in Glasgow, and we also support new approaches to improve health and to tackle inequalities in the city.
Okay, so what is Understanding Glasgow? What is the Glasgow Indicators Project?
So the website is where we keep information about health and other factors that relate to health within Glasgow. And how that relates to the Glasgow Indicators Project? Well, the project was what led to the website. So the Indicators Project is the set of indicators that we think are important in terms of describing health in Glasgow.
That sounds really interesting. Why was it started?
So it started, as I said, in 2007, and what we were trying to do was to measure progress in the city. In fact, it was to try and do three things. It was to see what things were getting better, what things were getting worse, and what particular issues were stubbornly difficult to move. So a way of kind of measuring progress within the city. The other thing that we wanted to do, and was really important, and lots of partners across the city agreed, was we wanted to create an accessible resource, something that everyone could access and could understand. And so that's why it's on a website and it's publicly available.
Okay, so Catherine, over to you. Who is the website for?
So yeah, as Bruce is saying, one of the key audiences was the general public. We want it to be a website that anyone can access. We want it to be a website that anyone can understand and can use data from. But when we initially started it, the idea was that it would be particular interest to policymakers and planners in the public sector. Mainly people working in Glasgow, but with an interest for people working across Scotland as well. But over time, we found that more and more groups do actually use it. We've seen a lot of use by university groups and by schools as for teaching and for research. And more recently as well, we've heard that people in the third sector are using it to provide evidence for funding applications.
Great, thanks Catherine. So Bruce, can you give me examples of how the data from the site is being used?
So as Catherine said, it's being used by a variety of different organisations. We're not quite sure how everyone uses it, but from what we've gathered, people use it to inform planning decisions. They also use the evidence from the site to help direct resources and to prioritise where money is spent. As Catherine said, it's used in grant applications to provide evidence, and we also know that the site's used in academic study in first year courses and postgraduate courses. So the other ways that the site are used is we quite often get ad hoc requests for information. So some examples of those are we were asked by a local hospice for demographic data. We were asked by the City Council for information on population projections and food insecurity in Glasgow recently. We've been asked by a nursery head teacher for population estimates for her area in the north of Glasgow. We had a German academic in contact wanting to know about life expectancy and population data in Glasgow. We've had requests for data on obesity in primary one school children, for a public health master's student, and lots of other kind of ad hoc requests like that come our way because of the Understanding Glasgow and the data that's on there.
So Bruce, can you tell me about the findings that you have been surprised about for Understanding Glasgow?
That's a kind of difficult question for me because I've been involved in the site for a long time, but I think when people come to the site, I think they're quite surprised sometimes by the differences in health across the city or the differences in poverty, that sort of thing. So as a good example, when we produce health profiles of different neighbourhoods across the city, there's some neighbourhoods where the health measures and the social measures are much better than they are in a neighbouring area, and those contrasts within Glasgow are really quite striking. So I think that's something that a lot of people notice the first time they start using the information on the website, these stark differences in health and in life circumstances across Glasgow. And that's part of what we're trying to do with the website, to illustrate the inequalities that are within the city.
Great, thanks Bruce. So Catherine, on the homepage of the website, there's this sort of icon that has a list of all the topics, and they're all kind of interlinked. So what's the significance of that? What does it mean?
So when we first put the website together, the idea was to have all these different indicators, and they would all tell us something about health and wellbeing and what it was like to live in Glasgow. They're structured around these 12 key nodes or topics, and those were chosen in consultation with people about what they would be interested in finding out data on. The diagram lays out those 12 nodes in a circle, and then it shows all the different connections between them, so it ends up looking like a massive web where every node is connected to every other node. So for example, you have poverty on one of the nodes, and poverty is impacted by, and it also impacts health. It's impacted by transport, it has an impact on cultural vitality, but all the nodes are like that, they're linked to every other node on it, and that's where the diagram comes from.
Okay, so Bruce, could you explain to me what is the relationship between Understanding Glasgow and other websites such as GCPH, ScotFO, Glasgow City Council and NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde website?
So all of these websites are slightly different. Understanding Glasgow has a lot of the indicators, the statistical indicators that describe health and social circumstances in Glasgow. The GCPH website is where we keep a lot of our research reports and our more academic output. There's a site called ScotFO, that's S-C-O-T-P-H-O, which stands for the Scottish Public Health Observatory. So that's similar to Understanding Glasgow, it's just providing data across a range of topics that relate to health for the whole of Scotland. The Glasgow City Council website has information about the services and policies that they use to administer Glasgow. And the NHS Group Glasgow and Clyde site is much more health-based, about the health services that are provided. So they're all slightly different. And going back to Understanding Glasgow, it's much more about the health indicators that tell us something about the health of the population within Glasgow.
Right, okay, so why would the Understanding Glasgow website be of interest for Glasgow residents?
So I think the site is hopefully of interest to both students and residents, because if you live in the city, a lot of the information on the site, the statistics about the population in the city, the health of people in the city, levels of poverty, etc., and environmental indicators should be of interest to people who live in the city. And on top of that, if you're a student studying in Glasgow and you're doing a particular topic that maybe relates to health or sociology or the environment, this is where you would get some information that might be helpful for your course. And I think also the thing that the website tries to do, it tries to make comparisons to other places, other cities in Scotland, other local authorities surrounding Glasgow, and where we've got the data, we also make comparisons to other UK cities, and occasionally we've made comparisons to European cities and regions as well. So there's a lot of information there that can be used for study, but also hopefully of general interest.
Okay, so Catherine, which indicator on the Understanding Glasgow website is the most searched one?
So oddly, even though it is Glasgow Centre for Population Health and our focus is mainly on health and wellbeing, it's not one of the health specific indicators that we have most searched. In fact, the most searched terms at the moment are about poverty and about deprivation. And that's understandable just now because we're facing a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
And so people want information on that, and they want to know what the impact of Glasgow is likely to be. Underneath that, the next most searched thing is about demographics. So over the time that Understanding Glasgow has been active, the demographics of the city have shifted quite a bit. We have quite a young population compared to the rest of Scotland, but we have less and less children in the city. And so people are looking at the demographics of the city overall and of the different neighbourhoods just to see how that has changed. And the next two most searched things are community safety and crime. And we don't know exactly why that is. It's perhaps to do with people's perceptions of Glasgow as being a place where there might be a lot of crime, but what the statistics on the site show is that a lot of the crime rates have come down over the last 15 years that we've been measuring them. So whether people are looking at it for that reason or they're just interested in tracking how those crime rates have changed over time, again, that's one of the things that is often searched. The other part of the site that people look at, so we've talked a lot so far about the different nodes and the different topics, but there's also part of the site that looks specifically at neighbourhood profiles.
Ah, right, okay, so what are these profiles that are on the website? Bruce, can you explain like what they are, what they mean?
Yeah, so we've got 56 neighbourhoods across Glasgow. So we have profiles for 56 neighbourhoods in Glasgow. We also have a profile for the whole of Glasgow. And within these profiles, what we do is we put together a range of indicators. So there's population indicators that tell you about the population that lives in that neighbourhood. There's also indicators about poverty, about deprivation and about health. So overall, the range of indicators gives you a very good picture of or description of health, demography and social factors in that neighbourhood, and you can also then compare that neighbourhood to the rest of Glasgow or to Scotland. So it gives you a bit of a picture about what that neighbourhood's like and how it compares to other areas within the city and within Glasgow and to Scotland as well.
That's really interesting actually, because you'll be able to make a comparison of the different areas of Glasgow. So, Catherine, some of the data on the Understanding Glasgow website is from a few years ago. Could you explain why that is?
For each of the topics that we have on the website, we get data from a variety of different sources. Some of those are administrative or survey sources, and the frequency of them can vary. So, for example, there might be some administrative data that you get every single year, and we'll update that every single year. But it might take a few years for them to process the data, so it's going to be a couple of years out of date. For other surveys, they're only doing them every second or third year, or for example, the census only happens every 10 years, so the data we have from the census is actually currently 11 years out of date because it was delayed for a year by COVID. So we have to make a decision then whether that data is still relevant and still useful, and particularly for data like the census, if we don't have any similar data, we do sometimes choose to still use the data even though it's not fully up to date. And we'll also use data from recently published research where we think that's relevant, even if it is just one-off research. So obviously that will become out of date over time, and it's a balance to decide how long to keep that up for and at what point it needs to be replaced with something else.
So on the Understanding Glasgow website, there are indicators for children and then the rest of the population. Why are they split? Is there a significant difference between the data studied?
So originally it was just a set of overall indicators for the entire population, but some of the early feedback that we got was that people wanted to have specific indicators for children. And some of that's quite understandable, that there's different things that you would want to know about the child population to the adult population, and there's some things that we measure for adults that you actually can't measure for children, for example, voter turnout. So in certain sets of data that makes sense. But what we also found is that there are some sets of data that are collected differently for children and adults. So as I was saying before about the census taking 10 years to update, but they do a school census every single year, so you can get that kind of demographic data a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So it does make sense to separate them out so that you can see how one group is changing even as the other one can't be updated. Also, for example, the school census will give us better information on asylum seeking and more up-to-date information on that than we can get from the adult data sources.
Okay, so we spoke a little bit about the current content of Understanding Glasgow, but Bruce, have you got a plan to extend the content?
Yes, we're always thinking about new indicators that we might add to the site. So currently we're planning a new section on homelessness, and that's something we'll develop over the next couple of months. We're also thinking about a section on asylum seekers and refugees, and what Catherine's just mentioned about the school census providing good information, at least for children, on asylum seekers and refugees. So that will certainly be one of our sources. I suppose the other thing to say here though is overall we don't want to add too much to the site, because there's a level of information overload that we could get into. So it's for every single section, for instance health or poverty, we don't show absolutely every single indicator that would describe health or poverty. We provide a sample, maybe five or six main indicators, and I think that's important because it allows people to see the wood for the trees, to get an overview, and that's principally one of the things that I think the site does. It provides an overview. It doesn't provide you with chapter and verse on every single aspect of health or every single aspect of poverty or the environment or whatever the topic is, but it gives you a good overview that we tell you quite a lot about that particular topic for Glasgow.
Right, okay, so what's next for Understanding Glasgow? What's next for the website?
So quite a few things. We're planning to move the website to a new content management system, to a new platform, so we need to prepare for that. More immediately, we're always focusing on how we keep the site as up to date as possible, so that's a continuing, ongoing priority, so that people know that it's there and that they can use it, and hopefully that will drive people to the site.
Thanks, Bruce. So, Catherine, if I wanted to be kept up to date on the Understanding Glasgow website and publications and things like that, how could I go about doing that?
So you could do it on social media. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/thegcph, or also on Twitter, we're at thegcph. And we also have our GCPH website, which is www.gcph.co.uk. And if you go on there, you can join our network list, and that'll give you updates about the GCPH, our website, also about Understanding Glasgow, what we've been talking about today, but also updates on our research as we publish it and on all of our events.
Okay, so we're on to the last question now. So, Bruce, are there any opportunities to get involved in Understanding Glasgow?
There certainly could be. We've previously had internships or student placements where people have helped us, for instance, evaluating our profiles and the use of the site. So that's always an opportunity, and you should keep up to date on our GCPH website to look for those kind of opportunities advertised. It's also useful to get feedback on the site. That's another way that would be really helpful, and there's a contact us web form on the Understanding Glasgow website which people can use if they want to get in contact. So again, that's really useful, getting to know how people are using the site, and if they get any queries, they can be followed up there.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much, Catherine and Bruce, for talking with me today.
Thanks, Anna.
Okay, so if you're interested in finding out more about Understanding Glasgow, you can check out the website at www.understandingglasgow.com. There's also the Glasgow Centre for Population Health. That website is www.gcph.co.uk. And as Catherine mentioned earlier on, our social media is www.facebook.com/thegcph. And on Twitter, we are at thegcph. Thanks very much for listening.